Thank you for your word. There's so much that we can learn from your servant, especially from David, Father, who reached into that new covenant when the old covenant said, you can't be forgiven. But Lord, there's always forgiveness with you. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the lessons we learned tonight. And I pray, Lord, that what's important we will retain. And Father, it will be sown into our lives and it will be acted out on. Lord, it will bring freedom to those who are held in captivity. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no reason for any one of us to be in captivity. We have a God who sets us free. And when the Son sets you free, that's it, David, you're free indeed. And don't let the devil tell you otherwise. And don't be conned by him. Don't listen to a word he says. Don't run on your emotions. Run on the word of God. Amen. We've been singing tonight about that. We need to follow what God said. If God said it, that's the truth. And that's what you need to keep your eyes on. Don't let the devil get you sidetracked. We're talking about David, and we've been through a lot of things. Last week we talked about how David, he wasn't perfect, but he had a perfect heart. And why did he have a perfect heart? Because he was passionate about God. God saw his heart, and he sees your heart. And sometimes, you know, we don't always display on our faces, or sometimes we do, what's inside. But God is looking at your heart, and if your heart is pushing and desiring him, then he looks at you and he said, that's one of my kids. They may not have got it right, but I tell you what, they will get there because they'll follow me. What did he say? Follow me, follow me, follow me. And that's what we need to be doing, following Jesus. Here we're talking about covenant people will suffer, but they will recover. And we know that David suffered as a consequence of his one trip out of covenant. And that's what we're just going to look at tonight, the repercussions of David's actions. We join here where David is forgiven, but his one trip out of covenant has sown seeds that will produce weeds for years to come. And you know, I've seen so many lives, so many families destroyed because they don't know Jesus, and it's gone from bad to worse. That's what the devil does. He kills, steals and destroys. And if you don't know God and you don't know who you are and you don't know what he wants for you, you're just going to be a puppet in his hands. And that's not what God wants. He wants every one of us to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and that we don't have to live that way. We can have an overcoming life. And that's what David took a hold of. Remember this. Don't ignore God. Don't run away from God. And don't disobey God. Because it's what God tells you to do is for your good, and you will be victorious. But if you don't, if you get on the wrong track, I'll tell you this, sin will take you further than you want to go. And its penalty just is not worth it. Okay? Sin will take you further than you want to go. And the penalty is not worth it. Don't even go that route. Follow God. Follow God and be obedient to what he says. He's telling you for your own good that you might have a rich, glorious, blessed life. David and Bathsheba had a child. And David, this was out of covenant. And as a result, the prophet Nathan came to David and he said, the child will die. David pleaded with the Lord for the child all the time it was alive, but when they came in and said the child had died, he got up, he got washed, he got changed, and he went back, and he ate, and he went into worship with the Lord. He accepted God's ruling. They then had another child, and David and Bathsheba, their second child was called Solomon. And he was loved by God. What a difference. That is just beautiful. In 2 Samuel 12, it says he is loved of the Lord. And in the message, it says in 2 Samuel 12, verses 24 and 25. When Samuel, when he was born, they named him Solomon. God had a special love for him and sent word by Nathan the prophet that God wanted him named Jedidiah, which means God's beloved. What a transformation. The first child died because it was out of covenant. The child that was born in covenant was so blessed and loved of God, precious to God. And we're all precious to God. Don't ever forget that. You are very, very precious to God. Nathan prophesied, if you remember, that the sword would never depart from David's house and God would raise up evil against him out of his own house. And that was the case because of his sin with Bathsheba. Because he, if you remember, he saw Bathsheba, he went and took her, he slept with her, she got pregnant, then David tried to cover it up, he tried to kill, he got Bathsheba's husband home, Uriah. Uriah said, no, I will not sleep with my wife, even though they've brought me home from the battlefield. The other men are on that battlefield and I choose to restrain myself because these men are still out fighting. And so David was desperate and he sent word and he sent Uriah back to the battlefront. And he sent word to the captain of the host and he said, put Uriah right at the front of battle where he will certainly be killed. And he was killed. So David was not just adulterer, but he was also a murderer. And those two sins under the old covenant were not forgiven. But David knew God loved him. And he reached into the new covenant. And there he found grace and mercy in God. But Nathan prophesied that as a result of David's sin, that this evil would go right through the line of his own household, and that's exactly what it did. And David had a son called Amnon, and Amnon fell in love with Tamar, his half-sister. He forced her to sleep with him, and after he'd raped her, he hated her. And so lust had given way to rape, and rape had given way to hate. All the nasty things going down the family line as a result of David's actions. Tamar, she told her brother, who was Absalom. And Absalom hated his half-brother from that day on, and he plotted to kill him. And you read that in 2 Samuel 13, verses 20 and 22. Absalom manipulated his father into allowing his sons to go shearing sheep together. And while they were all away, Absalom had Amnon killed in revenge. So we're getting another death, we're getting revenge. All these nasties were coming out and going down the family line. Absalom, after doing that, after killing his brother, half-brother, he fled to a place called Geshur, and he was there for 3 years. And after 3 years, he returned to Jerusalem. However, on his return, he was not a humbled man. He was not sorry for what he'd done. He came back, and he was a polished politician with a very determined agenda to steal the throne from his father. So here we get even more evil stuff going off. One broken covenant had produced death, lust, rape, hatred, murder, and then religious politics. Goodness gracious me, David must really have regretted what he did. David's son Absalom was a very attractive man, and he was a man of great charisma. His hair was beautiful and it caused all the people to praise him. But you know, his pride soon got the better of him. And as he began his campaign to win support, the support of the people, when people came to David for counsel, as they did in those days, they went to the king if they had a problem, and they sought counsel from him. But Absalom was very slick, and he used to stand at the city gates. And when he saw people coming to get advice from his father David, he would interject and he would catch them at the gate, and he would greet them and he would shake hands with them and he would kiss them. What a slick politician, eh? And Absalom won the hearts of the people. He was determined to take the throne from his father David. When this was reported to David, David was still operating under the guilt of his moral failures. And he did the most stupid thing. He abdicated the throne and he ran for his life. You know, he just ran away. He was afraid of the circumstances. He was afraid of Absalom. He was running with fear. He was running with his emotions. And instead of asking God, he just went and left everything and ran away. Well, that's not the answer. If you're under pressure, the last thing you do is run away. You run to God and you get things right with God and you say, God, I need you to sort my life out and give your life to God and let him do the sorting out. But David, because he was running on guilt, it caused him, the condemnation and the guilt plagued him, and he was running on his emotions. He needed to recover. Why was David running on guilt? The fact that he was running on guilt gave the devil the power to repeat the sin again and again and again. Every negative reaction you have gives the devil power to work against you. Don't give him any negative fears. Don't give him anything to work with. He takes his power from your bad reactions. And this is what he did to David. David had repented. Yes, he repented straight away as Nathan came and accused him of his sin. David was quick to repent, but there's one thing he didn't do. He didn't forgive himself. And if we don't forgive ourselves, that's a negative. And who works against us? The devil. The devil was working very much against David. If David had forgiven himself, the devil would have been immobilized. He would have no power to work against him. But he was about to cause mayhem in the family. You know, Job said, "That which I feared is come upon me." Very true. If we fear something, the devil, we've given the devil power, it mobilizes him, and with that power he will make whatever we're afraid of become a reality. Don't give him any fear, don't give him any hatred, don't give him any unforgiveness, don't give him one negative thing, because he will ruin against you. What the devil wants to do is to create a sense of hopelessness. If he can make you believe that your situation is hopeless, then he's got you. But I want to say tonight that nothing is impossible with God. Can I have a hallelujah? Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. And my mind went straight to Abraham. And I've just got to read this passage from the message. And it's Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, and I'm reading from verses 17 to 25. It won't look like it does in your Bible, so if you just want to listen, that's absolutely fine. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention for living like a saint, because he didn't, and David didn't live like a saint. But because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father, and then he became a father, because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do and raise the dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. You've nothing to lose. Give God everything you've got. Even if the devil's screaming, this is impossible, this is hopeless, don't listen to him, don't follow him. Listen to God. God says, nothing is impossible, nothing is hopeless. Abraham believed anyway, deciding not to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made the father of a multitude of people. God said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And as Andrew has been saying tonight, Abraham didn't focus on the negative, his own impotence, and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body can never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's barren womb and years of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He didn't question God. He said he plunged right into that promise and he came up strong. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. If God says it, you can have it, because God's word is the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. So don't ever live in fear and condemnation. Get into God. Listen to God. God is a God of forgiveness, a God of love, a God of restoration. And that's what he wanted to do for David. And that's what he did for David. So plunge into the promises of God and come up strong, making sure that God would do what he said he would do. And the word of God tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So often we submit to the devil, resist God, and wonder why we've got a load more trouble happening. Submit to God. What does God say about this? God says, I'm healed, but my body's screaming, you're not. But I say, I am. Devil, I declare that my body is completely healed from top to toe. That my joints are strong and supple. And that my arteries are strong and free-flowing and supple. And I declare that the devil is not going to curse me with stuff that's come down the family line. Because I'm not cursed, I'm blessed. The devil is constantly taking and trying to kill, steal and destroy. He's trying to take from you what God has already given you. God has already given every one of us here divine health. At the cross, he did it for you and for me. Now we choose, are we going to live in that, or are we going to listen to the devil? Are we going to submit to God or submit to the devil? Are we going to submit to our bodies? Are we going to submit to circumstances? No, 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 no. We submit to God. We're going to live in freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. God doesn't want you to listen to anything the devil has to say to you. He cannot tell the truth. He's the father of lies. You're not going to get any truth from the devil, but you'll get the full truth from the word of God. Follow God. Submit to God. Listen to God. You know, Ian listened to God the other week. And he trusted God and he believed God, and God's given him a new hip. Amen. And he's dancing and leaping and shouting the victory. And he's so excited. Woohoo! He's doing a lot for us. Praise God. He is so excited because he received his miracle. Why? Because he plunged into the promise and came up strong. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. Plunge into the promises of God and come up strong. And don't let the devil steal from you again. He will steal and steal and steal. And Andrew's been talking about spiritual warfare. God said he gives us all power and all authority over the works of the devil. And he said, resist him, bind him, take authority over him, tell him, Get in the Word of God. It is written. It is written. And he'll scarper. He doesn't want to hear what God has to say. He wants you to believe what he's saying and what the circumstances are saying. And they are just nothing to go by at all. We need to do what Abraham did. Plunge into that promise and come up strong. Back to David. David had fled. He'd left Jerusalem. Absalom moved in. And when Absalom moved in, he got all David's concubines and he took them and he made love to them on the balcony, exactly in the same place where David had seen Bathsheba. Full circle. The whole curse had gone full circle and caused devastation in David's family. You know, Absalom's... Well, it was at that point that David began to wake up. And he said to Hushai, Hushai was a very, very loyal friend of David. And he said to Hushai, go into Absalom's camp as a spy and give him false advice. And he did that and he said, and report back to me what's happening. Absalom's rebellion was at an all-time high and he followed the counsel of Hushai. And then God began the recovery. And you'll read that in 2 Samuel 17. As Absalom rode high on his pride and his hair flowing in the wind, he was caught by a limb of a great oak tree. And the tree snatched his hair and it wrapped him round the tree trunk. And his mule was snatched from underneath him and he was left hanging in midair. At that point, Joab, one of David's mighty men, passed by and he killed Absalom as he was hanging from the tree by his hair. The suffering of David has come full circle. He's lost a baby, incest has invaded the palace, hatred and murder have prevailed in his own home, and Absalom has slept with his concubines on the same roof where it all began. Joab has murdered Absalom, as prophesied by Nathan. The sword has not departed from David's house. David weeps and weeps for Absalom because he loved him dearly, and for what broken covenant had done to his house. David suffered, but David recovered. Praise God, there's always forgiveness with God. Don't ever let the devil back you into a corner and say, you've blown it. You've never blown it. Turn back to God, repent, and forgive yourself. Don't give the devil any ammunition. Forgive yourself, leave it behind, walk on, move on, go forward, never look back. There's nothing to be gained from looking back. We've all made mistakes. God says, repent and move on. And that's what David did. And he went on to lead a victorious campaign of all the things against the giant brothers of Goliath. I can't remember how many he had. He had about five or six. Four brothers. Well, David went for Goliath's four brothers and he killed a lot and all the friends and the families, and he was on a high. And after this, he wrote 2 Samuel 22 and 23. And if you're ever feeling low, read those two chapters because they are absolute songs of praise and worship and adoration to God, because he had much to thank God for. God had recovered him, brought him to full recovery, and David was praising God non-stop for God's faithfulness and for God's love and for God's forgiveness. You know, recovery isn't so much about getting back everything that you've lost. It's about getting back into covenant and being covered again. In other words, getting back into relationship with God. That's the key. Get back into relationship with God. because he's the lover of our souls. And that love changes not. Doesn't matter, he's not fazed by what's happened to us. He sees the mistakes we're going to make. When we first came to him, he saw our journey right through to the end. And he knew everything that was going to happen to us. But he chose to forgive us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. That's how much he loves us. And he called us. And he made us what we are. And he wants to take us on from victory to victory to victory. From strength to strength to strength. And the choice is ours. You know, Romans 8 and verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that. So don't ever let the devil condemn you for anything you've done. What's past is past. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. And that's what David eventually found himself able to do. No guilt, no fear, just love and peace. And I love that song, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm fathered by the true and living God. And it goes on to say, there's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Saviour of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. And I'd love us to finish by singing that song and just thinking, the devil's got you trapped in guilt, unforgiveness, condemnation. Now's the time to say, no more, no more. I'm drawing a line in the sand here. And I'm saying, I am free. God has set me free. He's keeping no record of my wrongs. You know, when you go to God with all whining and whinging and moaning again about what you did, God is saying, what is she talking about? I chose to forget. I've forgiven, and when I forgive, I forget. God chooses not to remember your sins against you. What are you doing? Choosing to forgive, not to forgive yourself. We're going way beyond God's territory. You're walking into the devil's territory.